Let's just seek God's face, please, in word of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee. And Lord, we thank Thee for this Lord's Day. We thank the Lord for another day to praise Thy name and to worship Thee. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as we would come together, Lord, that our worship of Thee this day might be blessed, it might be hallowed. Lord, that we will, Lord, know very much the presence of the Lord being with us. Lord, come. Meet with us today, we pray. And Lord, may this be a blessed day in God's house. So hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn of praise, the words of Psalm number 63. Psalm 63, if you have a copy of our hymn book, it is on page 56. If not, the words will be on the screen. Psalm 63, Lord, Thee, my God, I'll early seek. My soul doth thirst for Thee. My flesh longs in a dry, parched land wherein no waters be. We're going to sing the first 8 verses, verses 1 to 8 of Psalm 63, standing as we sing, please. Let's still our hearts, please, in God's presence this morning. As we come to the Lord, pray the Lord will come, speak to all of us, and that we might hear His voice in His house today. Let's all pray. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee today for the privilege again that is ours to come before Thee. Lord, we come to Thee today because we are a needy people. We come, O God, to Thee because, Lord, of ourselves we can do nothing. And Lord, even our worship of Thee, Lord, today would be vain if the Lord were not to be our help. And O God, we pray You'll come, be our helper today, be our guide, be our strength. And Lord, we pray that today, by Thy Holy Spirit, You'll help us, Lord, truly to worship Thee. Lord, we pray that we might not go through rituals or motions today, but Lord, we pray that this might be a blessed day. Lord, that this will be a day when heaven will come down our souls to greet. O Heavenly Father, we pray that this day, by Thy Holy Spirit, Lord, You'll speak into all of our hearts, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll make this a very blessed day in the house of God. Lord, we thank thee already for thy presence in the Sunday school and in the Bible class. We thank the Lord for the children, young people who have been taught and instructed in the things of God. Lord, we pray that you'll lead them on with thyself. Lord, we pray that this day they might know the blessing of God in their lives. And Lord, we pray that you'll be pleased to put your hand of protection upon our young people. Lord, we pray that today they might know the protecting hand of God. Lord, keep them pure and unspotted from the things of this old world. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll be pleased to speak on in their young lives. And Lord, we pray now for this time of worship. Lord, as we would gather ourselves publicly in this place to worship thee, Lord, may we lift our hearts to heaven. Lord, we pray that today we might be very conscious that God is our aid. And Lord, we pray that today you'll come in this place and, Lord, move amongst us. Lord, far beyond the voice of any man, Lord, we need to hear thy voice. Lord, far beyond seeing those around us, Lord, we need to see thee today. Come, O God, reveal thyself afresh to us today. And Lord, that this day we might know with assurance that God is here. Lord, we pray today you'll remember all who have gathered in the house of God. We thank the Lord for all who have been enabled to gather together publicly in a place such as this. Lord, we thank thee for the assembling of ourselves together. Encourage our hearts today. Lord, there are a multitude of needs represented here in this congregation this morning. But, O God, we thank thee today that in Christ there is that fullness and that there is that sufficiency to meet all of our needs. Therefore, O God, we pray, lift our hearts to thee, open our eyes to see thee, and Lord, open our ears to hear thee today. We pray, Lord, today for those who cannot gather with us. We pray, Lord, today for those who are unwell in their own homes. We ask, O God, that you'll touch them in their bodies, strengthen them. May they know the touch of the Master's hand being upon them at this time. And Lord, that very soon we'll see them back again in the house of God. Remember, Lord, today those who are careless about the things of God. Lord, those who have wandered from thee. Heavenly Father, speak. Speak, O God, with that voice that wakes the dead. O God, we pray that you'll bring the backslider back to thyself. Lord, bring the prodigal back into the Father's house. And Heavenly Father, today may there be a work of regeneration wrought in hearts, a work of restoration wrought in hearts. O God, we pray that you'll be pleased to edify and build up every saint of God. Remember, Lord, those across our land and across our nation who are in any type of suffering today. Lord, we pray that you'll be pleased to encourage thy church and build up the people of God. Our Father, we pray that you'll remember, Lord, even those today are being persecuted for their faith. Lord, those across this world who do not have the privileges we have to meet together. Lord, many of thy dear children meeting in secret today. And Heavenly Father, we pray you'll encourage them at this time. We pray, Lord, for the missionaries. Remember, Lord, those who are serving thee in far-off lands. Encourage them and be with them at this time. And so, our Father, we pray that you will be pleased, Lord, to even this day, Lord, locally here in Sandown, come, O God, build up the Church of Jesus Christ. Lord, add, we pray, many precious souls to the Church of Christ even today. And Lord, take us onward and forward. Bless throughout this day. Remember in Hollywood this afternoon, bless the children as they gather there. Remember in the gospel meeting tonight, Lord, bring in strangers, bring in God's people, bring in many from around this area, Lord, that we might see God at work in this community. So Lord, we lift our hearts to thee. Come and do us good. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are turning to the New Testament this morning, to the book of Acts, please. Acts and the chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. And we're going to read from verse number 1. Acts chapter 12 and verse number 1. And we continue our series through these broken things. This is another one of the titles and texts that I was sent, but not the sermon, so I'm going to do my best to hopefully do this justice this morning. But Acts chapter 12, and let's read together the words of verse number 1 down to the end of verse 19. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell from off his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true what which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. They went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in, and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, and there abode. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts at this time. Let me welcome you all along this morning to our morning worship service. We're glad to see you in the house of God, and we pray the Lord will bless you all as we have met together in God's house this morning. So to you all, a very warm, sincere word of welcome. To those who as well who are watching online, we welcome you as well this morning. Can I run through the announcements for today and the week that lies before us in the will of the Lord? We have our Sunday school over in Hollywood this afternoon at 2:30, and do remember to pray for that. While you may not be there, you can pray that the Lord would bless the word as it goes forth in Hollywood. Then at 6:30, we come back for our gospel service this evening. Now, this was to be the final night of our Bible conference, but as you will, I'm sure, be aware by this stage, we have postponed the Bible conference for now. The Reverend Higginson has not been well during the week. Glad to say he is doing better, but we have postponed the Bible conference, and so we will have the gospel service as normal tonight at 6:30. We want you to come. Come back again for 6:30. We'd love to see you all back in God's house this evening at 6:30 for the gospel service. We're going to look at the subject tonight of good looks. So you will want to be here and know how important good looks are in the Bible. So you come 6:30 and hear what the Lord has to say about the subject of looking good. Solid Ground will be back with us. They haven't been able to be with us for the past little while, but they're back with us this evening, and we're looking forward to having them to sing tonight as well. Tuesday at 7 p.m., the Explorers Club, and then on Thursday night, we have our special baptismal service in our Hillsborough congregation, and we encourage as many as possible to plan to be there as people go through the waters of baptism. We have 10, 11 now altogether being baptized from our own congregation, and we are encouraged by that. So we want you to be there to support them and to encourage them. And so please remember that there will be no meeting here on Thursday night. We will meet rather over in Hillsborough Free Presbyterian Church just off the Cumber Road there. So please remember that Thursday at 8 o'clock, and we'd love to see as many as possible join with us. Now, this is the last opportunity. If you would like to be baptized and maybe you've been hesitating, and well, this is your last opportunity. I don't know when we'll be able to have another one, so have it. Take your chance and take your opportunity. Now, if you'd like to be baptized, do speak to me, please, as soon as possible. Can I ask those who are being baptized to wait behind for just a moment tonight after the gospel service? Just for a moment, for those who are being baptized, wait behind tonight. Friday night, 8 o'clock, is our presbytery for our elders. Next weekend, then, is our harvest weekend. And the church will be decorated, and we're going to follow the same format as was last year. We're asking that only those who are coming to decorate, please, if you can be in the church next Saturday morning. They'll be moving about and all of that, and we want to keep as few people in the building as possible, just to make it easier and safer for everyone. So only those who are coming to decorate next Saturday morning, the church will be open from 10 o'clock next Saturday morning. We are making that appeal to the congregation. If you can bring along fruit or vegetables or flowers or whatever you think may be useful, then that would certainly be a big help. And if you could drop them off at the front door of the church, there'll be a table there, so it means you won't have to come into the church, but there'll be a table at the front door, and you can drop the items off, and that would be very much appreciated. Also, the committee have decided that this year, again, the decorations will remain up after the Monday night service. So they will not be taken down in the after the Monday night service as they normally are. But unless you have brought items for display and you want to take those with you, by all means, do that. But by and large, the displays will remain up on the Monday after the Monday night service and will be taken down on the following Tuesday morning. And the church then will be taken, all the decorations will be taken down. All the fresh produce that is on display this year again will be taken to a local food bank to help and to assist in the local community. Can I just say that if there are other items that you would like to leave in for us to take down to the food bank, then certainly do that, please. If they're not for harvest display, like tins or whatever, by all means do that, and we will take them down for you on your behalf that Tuesday morning. So please do remember that. That's the church open next Sunday. It's next Saturday. Why do we keep saying next Sunday? Next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock for the decorating of the harvest, for the harvest services. So they are there next Sunday and next Monday. 11:30, we have our first harvest meeting, and the Reverend David Stewart from our Portland Own Church will be here to preach in the will of the Lord. And then on the Sunday evening at 6:30, the Reverend Fred Greenfield will be here to sing and to preach as well. And then on the Monday night, that's Monday, tomorrow night week, we have the final of our harvest meetings, and the Reverend Joshua Moffat from Bangor will be along to preach, and her sister Judith Beattie will be here to sing. So we encourage you, come, plan to be with us for these harvest Thanksgiving services. We have so much to thank the Lord for, and so you plan to be with us next weekend for the morning, evening service on the Lord's Day and the Monday night at 8 o'clock. Just very quickly, some other matters. I want to thank the congregation sincerely on behalf of our church committee for the offering that was lifted last week for the new church minibus. That offering came to a total of £5,735.90, and I know others will add to that as well. And that is a fantastic offering for one Lord's Day, along as well with the general offering. So that is much, much appreciated, and thank you sincerely for your generosity and your sacrificial giving to that appeal. If there are still those who wish to contribute to the minibus appeal, the little envelopes are still available there. Use those envelopes, put them into the boxes, and then they will be added to the total amount. But thank you in the Lord's name for your giving to the Minibus Appeal. If you didn't get your copy of the Vision magazine or the Missionary Council letters last week, then they are available today. Take those with you. They're all free of charge. Do remember to pray for those who are unwell. Pray for those in the congregation who are unwell. Those in the wider denomination who are unwell. Quite a number of our ministers are unwell at this time. As we said, the Reverend Higginson is unwell, although keeping better. The Reverend David Smith from our Banbridge Church is unwell at this time. And do remember him and others in your prayers, please. And finally, there is no offerings, as you know, but your offerings and tithes can be placed in the boxes as you leave. We're going to sing one hymn before we come to the preaching of God's Word. 637, 637, the page 433 in your hymn book. The words will be on the screen here. From the world we turn Jesus to seek. Here may his loving voice tenderly speak. 637, we'll stand again as we sing, please. That's good singing. Acts chapter 12 again, please. Acts chapter 12. I'm going to speak on the broken bands this morning. The broken chains at the end of verse number 7. We read how that chains that Peter had in prison, they fell off from his hands. Acts chapter 12, verse 7, the very end, and his chains fell off from his hands. With the word of God open before us, let's seek God's face, please, in a word of prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee today for thy presence. And Lord, we would turn away from the things of this world for this time. And Lord, we would turn to thee. O God, we would turn our hearts and our thoughts, Lord, toward thy word. Come, O God, we pray, speak to us. May we hear thy voice today, and Lord, that we might be very conscious that God is here. So be with us. Give us help, Lord, to preach. Lord, anoint us, Lord, with the Holy Ghost and with power. Give us help to hear, and Lord, that this day we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Answer prayer for us. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The New Testament church witnessed many, many great movings and manifestations of the power of God. Just think about it, that in one day, 3,000 souls alone were saved. And then another few days later, another 5,000 men at least were saved. The gospel then spreading out of Jerusalem and into areas that it had never reached before. It was a time of great growth. It was a time of expansion and a time of advancement. Because you see, not only were souls being saved, but believers were also being built up in their faith. There was a growing in grace and a going for God. The church was growing. The Lord was being glorified. It really was a great time to be a part of the work of God. However, the great growth of the church in such times also brought about great persecution. Because the religious establishment of the day hated the gospel. The gospel of Christ that taught Christ as being the Messiah and the Redeemer. You see, they saw their religious ceremonies, their religious life, their religious rituals being undermined by the spread of the gospel. And so they sought at every opportunity to halt the progress of the work. And the account for us here in Acts chapter 12 is another one of those times when the religious hierarchy sought to stop the work of the church. Already, by this stage, the apostles had been forbidden to preach in the name of Christ, but that didn't work. The devil sought to sow seeds of division amongst the people of God in order to halt the work of God, but that didn't work either. And then Herod, who sought to gain favor with the Jews, arrested James, had him executed, and then went on to arrest Peter. Peter, in many ways, was the leading figure in the early New Testament church. You will know that he was a very charismatic figure, always impulsive, yet always ready to stand for the gospel at every opportunity. And Acts chapter 12 sees for us some of the final accounts concerning Peter. As Peter becomes the dominant figure in the church, Paul becomes the dominant figure in the church from this point onwards. Yet what happens here to Peter serves for us as a great reminder and instruction that as you seek to live for God, and as you seek to do the work of God and the will of God, there will be opposition. We should not be surprised when it comes. We should not fear the hostility to the work of God. Because Peter finds himself here in prison. And not for the first time, he is in a prison cell. And each of those times that he finds himself in prison, he's not there because of his conduct, but rather because of his godly conduct. But here in Acts chapter 12, he experiences the mighty delivering hand of God. As those bands and chains that bound him in his prison cell were broken, and now he walks out. And these broken bands, these broken chains which held Peter and imprisoned Peter, God used those broken chains, as we'll go on to see, to encourage the people, to stir the people, and also to advance the work of God. As we consider these verses before us this morning, I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the persecution that was experienced. The circumstances that brought about the imprisonment of Peter was that Herod now was the king. Not only had the religious establishment turned against the church, but now it started to come from the state as well. And every force was uniting against the church of Christ. And I say again, never be surprised. Never be surprised or alarmed when organized religion or corrupt state forces seek to persecute the true church of Christ. It always has been the case. It will still be the case. As we consider this persecution, notice the brutality of it. Look at verse 1. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Notice the brutality of this persecution. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. That word vex there, it means to persecute, it means to torment, it means to oppress. It has the intention of brutal force. Many of the Herods, they were brutal, wicked men. You see, Herod wasn't playing games here. He meant business in opposing the work of God. And so what he does, he takes first of all James, the brother of John, and he kills him. James, who of course was one of the inner three in the disciples of Christ. And so what Herod does, he goes right to the very top. He sees one who is the biggest threat and whose death would be felt most keenly amongst the people of God. Now, before we go on to consider Peter here, I want you to notice something. You put yourself on the front line of service, dear believer. You put yourself in any line of service. You seek to live for God. You seek to witness for God. You will become the target of Satan's attack. You seek to live your Christian life, the devil is out to hound you and to bring you down. That's what he was doing here through Herod. But not content with murdering James, he goes on now to arrest Peter. Look at verse 3. Why? Why did he do it? Because he saw it pleased the Jews. Herod was in the business of pleasing the ungodly. Some things in government never change. Rather than being a terror to evil, he was a terror to good. You see, Herod knew that if he was going to remain in power, if he was going to stay in power, he needed the acceptance of the Jews. And this power corrupted him. He wanted to hold on to this power, and so rather than pleasing God, he pleased man. In fact, if he had tried to please the church, he knew that he would have been very quickly out of office and out of a job. But because he saw it pleased the Jews, he continued on this campaign of murder and wickedness and brutality. He was going to stop at nothing in order to halt the work of God. He was a brutal, wicked leader. The brutality of this persecution. But I want you to see as well the basis of this persecution. Underpinning this whole scene, inspiring this whole persecution, was the focused efforts of the people of God in spreading the gospel and in seeing men and women won to Christ. As I've said, they were already commanded not to preach in the name of Christ, but they refused. And then division came into the church. And the devil thought he would use the division in the church to halt the work. But that didn't work either. It only caused the work to grow. You see, what the New Testament church were doing was simply obeying the command of Christ given to them before he left heaven. What was that? Ye shall be witnesses to me. Jerusalem and Judea and unto the uttermost part of the earth. James, Peter, John, and the other disciples, the entire body of the believers, they were determined to take the gospel further. And here's what I want you to see, folks. Here's a lesson for the church in 2021. Persecution, opposition didn't dampen their efforts to see the kingdom of Christ extended. We shouldn't fear persecution. we shouldn't fear ungodly rulers. Because persecution was the first thing that sifted out the true church. And persecution was what the Lord used to cause the church to grow and to advance. Faithfulness to Christ and persecution for Christ often go hand in hand. You read anything about church history. Men, women, who would rather die than recant their faith. And persecution has often purified the church and expanded the church. That's what was happening here. These people were remaining faithful to their calling, and in yet so doing, they solicited the opposition, the hostility of the ungodly. That's why they were being persecuted. The faithfulness of the Church of Christ to the spread of the gospel was why Herod was riled up in anger against the leaders of the Church of Christ. So faithfulness and opposition will go hand in hand. The Lord often uses persecution, hard, difficult, unpleasant though it be. And you know, today across this world, there are many being persecuted for their faith. Many today, they would love to be able to meet together in a fashion such as we, publicly. But they can't. But those believers are not allowing that persecution to stop them in worshiping their God. And the Church of Christ in many places across our world today is growing, is expanding. Even in spite of the persecution. So there was the persecution that was experienced. James is dead. And now another one of their main leaders, Peter, is in prison. And I think as we read through these verses, it was Herod's every intention that Peter would be killed as well. So there was the persecution that was experienced. But I want you to see, secondly, now there's the prayer that was offered. The prayer that was offered. Look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. There's a little word there in verse 5 that changes the whole narrative of the situation. This is a very dark time for the church. Peter is in prison. James has just been murdered. But prayer was made. It looked like Peter was going to be put to death just like James. The church had already lost one of their leaders. They didn't want to lose another one. And it looked like the church was going to be brought to a halt and stopped. And the going forth of the gospel was going to be stopped. But what did the church do in the face of this opposition and this persecution? They got to prayer. Collectively. Unitedly, the church got together to pray. Verse 5, prayer was made without ceasing of the church. The entire collective body of believers at that time. You see, the church didn't cower down in fear, but rather it lifted up its voice to heaven and cried unto God. But prayer. This is not the first time that we find the church coming together collectively to pray. Before Pentecost, what were they doing? They were praying. Acts chapter 4, we read about the church praying for the release of Peter and John. And Peter and John visited Samaria, the church were praying. The church in the book of Acts didn't have fancy buildings. They didn't have very much by the way of this world's goods. But I tell you something they did have. They knew how to pray. They knew the importance of prayer. And as soon as Peter was in prison, the church got to prayer. They placed prominence on the place of public prayer. Can I say that today, as far as our church is concerned in Sandown, our Thursday night Bible study and prayer meeting is just not a night to fill a night in the diary for you or for me. Thursday night or in other places, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Monday night, whatever. The collective praying together of God's people is just not another meeting. We are praying collectively, unitedly, because that is the scriptural pattern and it is of utmost importance. We need to get back to placing prominence on the public place of prayer. Back to praying together. And thank God for those who join with us on a Thursday night. Grateful to see so many gathered with us on Thursday evenings. And our prayer meetings have far increased from even before COVID. Thank God for that. But there are others. Where are you? And we need to see you on a Thursday night. And I know there are elderly folks who would love to get out on a Thursday night. But they can't. They would do anything to get out. But oh, that today the church would see the absolute importance of being at prayer. You say, I can't pray. But you can join together with others who are praying. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes there are times when I come on a Thursday night and things have been taking place throughout the week and there's tiredness and there's weariness. You leave from a Thursday night and you hear God's people pray and it thrills your soul. They placed importance in praying. Notice something about this prayer. It was fervent prayer. Verse 5 again, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. That word ceasing there, it means to stretch forth. It's a medical term that refers to a stretched ligament or a pulled muscle. It means going beyond. Going past the boundaries. Whenever we apply that, therefore, here in verse 5, these people were not praying prayers. These people were getting before God and praying and touching heaven. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That energetic, passionate praying was fervent prayer. You see, they prayed as if their prayers depended on it. They prayed so fervently because their leader was in prison, and they prayed without ceasing as if everything in the life of Peter right at that time depended on them praying. Oh, for such prayer as that. It was fervent prayer. It was faithful prayer. Look at verse 5 again. It says, unto God. Unto God. Well, these people weren't praying to be heard. They were praying unto God. They were lifting their hearts and their voices to God. And as they prayed, they were praying, believing. Believing. Faith was very much evident in this prayer. Paul, writing to the Hebrew believers, says that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe in what we're praying. All things whatsoever you ask, believing, believing, you shall receive. These people just weren't gathering together for prayer to be seen to be doing something. They were gathering together for prayer, yes, because they were in a difficult situation, but they believed. They believed that as they prayed for Peter, God was able to help Peter and release him. Notice as well, it was not only fervent and faithful, but it was also focused. The end of verse 5. Without ceasing of the church unto God for him. For who? For Peter. Peter was the focus of their prayer meeting. They came together to pray for a specific purpose. This was not generalized praying. This was specific praying. Pointed praying. You see, if they were going to see specific answers to prayer, they needed to pray specifically. They come together to pray for one of their own. One of the sweetest things about our prayer meetings is to hear people praying for others in the congregation. Folks, whether you know this or not, maybe you've never been at a prayer meeting, your name may well have been offered in prayer in this place. And those who have no interest in this place as well, their names are often prayed for publicly in this place. Thank God for a people who know how to pray with a focus, to pray specifically. This praying demonstrated the genuineness of their faith. When these people faced the problem of Peter's imprisonment, they prayed. They turned to the Lord in earnest prayer because they knew only the Lord could help them. Much more I could say on the whole subject of prayer, but enough to say that this church, this group of people in Acts chapter 12 knew just how vital and how important praying was. God gave us such a burden as they had. There's the persecution that was experienced. There's the prayer that was offered. But I want you to see here, thirdly, there's the power that they witnessed. The power that was witnessed. We find in verse number 6 that Peter is bound by these bands, these chains. Verse number 6, and this is where I believe that Herod was coming to take Peter. And Peter was going to death. Firmly believe that. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. In a most providential manner, in a miraculous way, the angel of the Lord appeared. Just when it seemed that as far as Peter's life was concerned was over, just then the Lord stepped in. Dear believer, let me say something in passing before we consider this power. Maybe today you feel bound like Peter to the chains of your own prison. You're not in prison. But you feel so bound by some situation, some circumstance. And you think things are not changing. You think the Lord doesn't hear. Just at the right time, the Lord came. And just at the right time, the Lord will come into your situation and into your circumstances and will show and will demonstrate His power. Sometimes we think the Lord has forgotten us. Sometimes we think that our praying doesn't work, but just at the right time, the Lord always arrives on time. And so He arrives here on time and He makes known His power. Let's see how the power of the Lord here is witnessed. In verse number 7, we see it witnessed, first of all, in the brightness. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon Peter, and a light shined into the prison. A light shined into the prison. Remember, this was at night. There was no natural light. No electric light, of course, as well. And so if Peter was going to escape, well, he needed to see how. He needed to see the way ahead of him. And the Lord came and lightened up the way. Isn't it wonderful to know there, just in passing, that in the Lord's plans, He never leaves anything out. He knew that Peter needed to see the way out, so a light shined into the prison. And in our lives, and in God's providential leadings and guidings of us, He never leaves anything out. He lights our way out of the situation that we find ourselves in. And in the midst of the darkness now comes this brightness. Not only is there brightness here in this power, but there's also the breaking. Look at the end of verse 7. We'll read from the halfway down verse 7. And He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell from off his hands. Do you notice there, just before we go on, He raised him up, smote him on the side. Peter was sleeping. Peter wasn't distressed in prison. Peter wasn't panicking. Peter was just trusting in the will of God. He was in prison. He knew what had happened to James, his colleague, and he would have been well enough aware that he could be under the same judgment. And his life could be next. Yet he's still sleeping, resting. Why? Because he's just resting and trusting in the providences of God, in the will of God. Not some sort of que sera, sera, feeling whatever will be. No, this was Peter trusting, resting, faith in God. The Lord woke him. He says, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. We already read in verse number 6 how that the Lord had bound, or Peter was bound by those chains. But now those chains are broken. Do you know the Lord's in the business of breaking chains? The Lord is in the business of bringing liberty and freedom. In Christ there is perfect freedom. In Christ, there's real freedom. You see, Peter couldn't do anything to break those chains. But his God was able. His God was powerful. And so the Lord breaks these chains and he calls on Peter, arise up quickly. Arise up quickly. You see, the Lord broke the chains, but Peter had to do something as well. The Lord was most certainly breaking the chains for Peter and showing his power. But the Lord wasn't going to do for Peter something that he could do for himself. And so he calls to Peter, get up, stand up, and arise, and get out. There's the brightness of this power, there's the breaking in this power, but I want you to see as well, there's the believing. Verse number 8, it says, then the angel said unto him, gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals, and so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. Peter was called to believe, called to trust. You see, Peter had to believe that the Lord was able to bring him out. Peter had to believe that the Lord could bring him out. And so this was a test of his faith. Peter, are you going to stay there or are you going to come out? In verse number 9, we see that Peter did believe. And he went out and followed him. What did he do? He just took God at his word and said, I do not know, Lord, where you're leading me. I do not know how I'm getting out of this place. But I'm just going to lead, follow you. As you read through verse 10, you'll find that Peter was very much right in the very center of this prison. They went past the first and the second ward. They came to the iron gate that leadeth on to the city. It wasn't a matter just of Peter having to climb over a wall and he was out. There were doors and there were gates that barred him from escaping, but Peter just followed the Lord the whole way. And what did he do? What happened? What happened as he followed the Lord? He saw the Lord remove every obstacle and every hurdle that stood in his way. Is that not faith? Taking God at his word, saying, follow me, and as you follow, just see the Lord remove everything. Remember what we were thinking about last week? Children of Israel, the Red Sea, what did the Lord do for them? He removed the hurdle. Look at verse 11. Peter realizes now that he has been freed. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. His bands were broken, his chains were broken. And the Lord broke the chains of his prison predicament. He knew it was of the Lord. Where did he go? What did he do? As you see in verse 12, he went to the prayer meeting. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Peter, you read there in verse 12, says, when he had considered the thing, Peter thought, how has this happened? He said, this has happened because the people are praying. Peter knew this as an answer to prayer. He knew the hearts of the people. He knew these people would be praying for me. And so what does he do? He goes to where they were praying. He knocks. And that little damsel by the name of Rhoda comes. She's so excited. She can't believe that it is Peter. She knows it's Peter. She doesn't even open the door, but she runs in and tells them all, Peter's at the door, but they don't believe. But then Peter went in, spoke with them, and told them how the Lord had answered their prayers, how that his chains were broken. This persecution brought the church to pray like never before. And God answered and God worked in answer to prayer. Peter was released. Before we finish this morning, and we are finished, what was the result of all of this? What was the effect of all of this? Well, I believe we've already seen it, that it stirred the people to pray more earnestly. You know, folks, none of us want persecution, none of us look for persecution, but perhaps persecution is the best thing the church could ever get in 2021. Perhaps we've had it too easy for too long. These people were stirred to pray. The Lord answered prayer. He revealed himself in a most miraculous way. But as we close, notice what happened. Go down to the end of verse 24. Almost the end of this chapter. Herod is riled up. He cannot believe what has happened. He kills those prison guards who were supposed to be looking after him. But what's happened? Verse 24. The word of God grew and multiplied. Herod thought he was going to stop the work. Herod thought the death of James and the imprisonment of Peter was going to see an end to this church going forward. But not so. Why? Why? Because remember that Christ is the one who has all authority in heaven and in earth. I know I'm going back to what we spoke on a few Thursday nights back. All authority. He is Lord over all of all. All authority is His. Herod was just a little imp in the eyes of Almighty God. God used this persecution to advance His church and to see the gospel go further. You see, what we have here in Acts chapter 12 is another wonderful outworking of God's great plan for His church. What's that? I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I say again, God has only one plan. It's a redemptive plan. It's not a political plan. It's not an economic plan. It's a redemptive plan. It's about the church. It's about the building up of the church of Christ. And in Acts chapter 12, while there was persecution, yes, while there was death, yet through it all, there was advancement and there was going forward. The word grew. Praise God today. He's still building His church. The work of God is still going onward and forward. And let's believe. Let's believe God. Let's take God at His word. And let's see God at work. Let's see the word of God grow and be multiplied because He is able. And no wicked ruler in Stormont, in Westminster, or over the pond in the White House can stop the going forward and going on of the church of Jesus Christ. He's still building His church. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Bless Thy word to our hearts, O God, we pray. Encourage us. Lord, thrill our hearts that even though at times it may seem that all is against us, yet, O God, we thank Thee that even there Peter realized that in the prison cell God was still for him. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll help us to see God at work in a miraculous way, in a supernatural way. Lord, forward, we pray. Cause Thy church to grow in ways we have never experienced before. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that even as it was recorded in Acts chapter 12, May it be recorded of us in 2021 that the word of God grew and multiplied. Bless thy word, we pray, to our hearts. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with singing the words of 568. 568 in our hymn books, page 405, if you have a copy of the book. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God was taking care of Peter in a difficult and hard place. And no matter how hard your place may be, God will still take care of you. We'll stand together as we sing this closing hymn, please. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for thy care, your interest in us and to us. And Heavenly Father, we pray that today as we leave this place, Lord, that no matter what this week may bring our way, Lord, may we have this wonderful assurance that God will take care of us. He will bring us through, Lord, our situations. Lord, He will bring liberty. Heavenly Father, we pray You'll bless Thy word to our hearts. Be with us throughout this day. Bless this afternoon in Hollywood. Bless us again tonight in the gospel. And Heavenly Father, we look to Thee to give us a blessed day in the house of God. Part us now in the fear and the blessing of Almighty God. In the Savior's name we pray.